I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. An American rules Britain again. This is The Morning Shift. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squid Billy. And finally, he's decided to grace us with his presence once again. The All-American national champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Missed some of his former teammates at SEC Media Days, but it's all right. We got the receipts of the stories in the past. I'm sure Allie will play us audio at some point. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. And speaking of Allie, she's the, are you still the first lady of baseball?
Yes, always.
All right. And the queen of tofu, the leader and founder of Allie's Army, Miss Allie Mack. And the most vanilla man in radio, the worst wave in the history of sports radio. And I guess he's finally back from doing whatever it is he was doing at a wedding, Dylon Matthews. And we have sent the most eligible bachelor at 92.9 The Game back to where he belongs. That's Abe Gordon, by the way.
Ding.
Ding. Back at it. Happy
Welcome
to be here.
Back.
Yeah. No, I'm happy to be here. I am. You guys know I love my job, man. I say it, living the dream. Dylon, did you have an actual role at the wedding? Is that what Bo is? Did you have like a... You didn't have an actual role. You weren't like in the wedding. Okay.
And the ceremony had already happened. The ceremony had happened like a month or so ago. They did it up in the UP, and so this was just really the kind of the party slash reception of portion of the wedding. So
you took off to go to a party.
The Youpers.
Yeah. Yeah, the Youpers. Yeah, you know about the Youpers.
Does anyone read into this what I read into this immediately?
Oh, man.
Were you not invited to, like, wedding? You were just invited to the party?
Nah, I wasn't. I mean, I'll be straight up. But not because, you know, I'm not loved by
was
my
cousin.
Was it a
destination wedding? Did they go somewhere and get a small ceremony?
It was a very small ceremony. And destination wedding, yeah, because the UP is still in Michigan, but it's not. It's like, again, Upper Peninsula. That's what UP stands for. And so it was a very small ceremony on the beach. So again, a lot of people that were at the party were not actually invited to the actual ceremony. They had a very, very small ceremony
because I had a buddy that got married in somewhere out west in the mountains, and it was literally just the wedding party, and then they came back to Atlanta and did it at a brewery, did like a reception for everybody,
and that's basically what this was. So yeah.
All right. I got you. That's pretty cool, man. Happy that you got to enjoy the
yeah,
the
it
UP.
Was fun.
Oh, you didn't go to the UP though. You just go to the regular party.
Yeah, I just went to the regular party in
I got family
in Muskegon.
Up there, man. I know some of the lingo. You know what I mean? I got family up in Michigan. No big deal.
I'm so happy we're all reunited today. I'm sure as we go through the show today, Mike, we will regale you with the stories of last week. But Bo was
I'm a little nervous, yeah.
Bo was awesome last week because we were down at SEC Media Days. So I took the Morgan Express to the College Football Hall of Fame every single day. Yes.
The Morgan Shuttle.
Yeah. Like I was Bo drove me and Abe 3 days and then Bo had to stay late on Thursday. So he picked me up and then Abe drove me home. It was very nice. It was very much a team effort last
week.
You
were a passenger princess
last week. I know. I was.
She tried to get Friday too. Like on the way down Thursday, she was like, so are you picking me up tomorrow? And I was like, no.
I don't blame you. I do the same thing.
Well, we have a lot to cover today. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll talk about Falcons training camp because it is here. It's this week. So we'll talk about our biggest questions we have for Falcons training camp. But first, we do have to start with the Braves. They lost the series to the Yankees over the weekend. I know Mark Zeno is out there fist pumping somewhere. It started so well. Braves beat the Yankees 7-3 on Friday. Ronald had that insane throw from right field. Saturday, Braves had the lead, but then the Yankees chipped away, ultimately won 12-9. And yesterday, well, it was a Sunday game. That's pretty much all you need to know about that. 4-2. It's been absolutely, like you thought for a moment, they had me for a moment, like, okay, this all-star break has done some good here.
It's like the State Farm commercial where the old man fishing, gotta be quicker than that. You had me for a sec. You just brought me right back in. You know what? It was like, man, we got 4 days away from this. Got to enjoy some all-star theatrics. And
right.
Everybody's feeling good about Truist Park and everything else. And you come out and you swing in a hot bat, obviously, over the weekend. You got some new additional pieces to the lineup and everything seems to be going well. Michael Harris and Ozzie Albies are hitting well and everything's good. And then, like you said, you hit that series finale that Sunday, that getaway day that's just been absolutely brutal. By any metric and by any stretch of the imaginations here, the Braves on Sunday, I believe the record on Sunday now is 3-12. I have the record on series finales now at 9-22.
They have not won on a Sunday since my birthday, May 4th.
Wow.
That's insane.
Your birthday is May 4th.
It is Star Wars Day.
Of course it is.
We've talked about this.
I mean, yeah. I almost forgot for 1 second. But frustrating, to be a Braves fan, obviously, after this weekend. But I know they had a massive crowd on Saturday. And I think our buddy Domer was maybe a part of it, either on Saturday or Sunday. So, yeah, man, it's the same thing all over again.
But how good did you feel for Ozzie Albies over the weekend, though? He had 2 3-run homers. So he's kind of getting back to where he should be.
Yeah, what do you have, 9 RBIs?
Yeah, 3 hits, 9 RBIs. Michael Harris had a walk. I feel good, I guess. I'm running out of things to say about this team. I mean, I really don't have anything to say. They lost this series the way they've lost every series that they've lost basically this year. They can't hit when they need to. And when they do hit, they don't have a bullpen to hold it. You're decimated. As far as starters, I mean, Joey Wentz gave you a good 4 innings, and then your bullpen is garbage. And so that's what you are. You know, people can – I saw someone complaining about Iglesias on Saturday night in a high leverage situation. Well, who are you going to put in there?
Yeah.
Einstein. Like, people think, well, we're going to trade Marcel and get all this stuff. And I'm like, you're not getting anything for a DH who – is injured, 34 years old, and has been benched. He's been benched. You're not getting that. There's not this great reset button that's going to be hit, and there's not much that you do have that you're going to get anything for. It's going to be a lot. Whatever they do move on from at the deadline, it's going to be a lot like what they have done to other teams in the past, where you trade guys who are basically on expiring minor league deals for other guys as a salary dump. And you can say, well, it's not a salary dump if it's an expiring contract. No, it is. You're saving $1 million here, $2 million there because of how many games would be left because essentially at the deadline, there's 2 months left in the season.
Yeah, I was going to say that's whatever 2 months prorated it is of Marcelo Ozuna's $16 million. And I'm with you. At this point, though, I'm going to say anything you got back from Marcelo Ozuna would be better than nothing, rather than his contract just expiring. But you're right. He's hitting 235. I don't know what anybody thinks you're going to get from Marcelo Ozuna at this point, because most people are not going to look at him and, you know, what he's done this year and think, oh, got to resign him next season. And he doesn't sound, you know, from some of the quotes that he's had out there about his agent handling things with AA, it doesn't sound like he's opposed to moving on either. But I got to be real with you. I mean, you brought it up, Bo. It's like watching this series and watching this team play. It's Groundhog Day, and I'm to the point where, and we've had this conversation before, I'm looking at some of these guys wondering every at-bat with the person that walks up to the plate, and I'm going, okay, is that person on the trading block? Can we trade that person? And there's really only a couple people that are off the books for me in terms of the future forward-facing for the Atlanta Braves in the trade market. So
they're not trading the core. He's said it so many times. So I bet he's probably tired of talking about it like I am. They're not trading the core. Okay, their business model is based around players that give you a chance to win that you can sign to long-term deals at a cheap AAV, and people can, you know, talk about Austin Riley this and that, and he's the highest paid player in Braves history. It's a default. He makes $1 million more a year than Matt Olson, who's also not getting traded.
I think the question would be then, like, who is the core? Because, well, I think that's the follow-up to that is who is the core? I think you could make the argument that every single person in the starting lineup right now, aside from shortstop, could be considered part of the core.
I'm not sure if Ozzie's considered the core because of where his deal is. It's cheap, and it is also one that I think it's a team option the next 2 years. Ozuna's not necessarily considered core because of where his money is. I'm not sure if I would even consider Profar, although I do believe him to be in the future plans, core. But Riley, Olson, I think Baldwin and Murphy and Harris and Acuna are core, not counting the pitchers of Schwellenbach and Strider. And Sale's not really going anywhere. He's injured, and, you know, yeah, he might come back in August, but I just don't foresee them trading him at all. So I think it's a lot easier to understand what the core is if you just want to if you really look at it from how Alex has talked about it.
Well, and I did see that Bob Nightingale from USA Today was saying that the Braves apparently are going to hear other teams out when it comes to offers for Ozzie, Michael Harris, and Sean Murphy. So as much as this city gets we are still upset about Freddie Freeman leaving, how upset would the city be if Ozzie Albies did leave?
Not near as upset.
Not as much.
Yeah, I mean, Freddie Freeman's an MVP caliber player who spent 12 years here. And as much as I have loved the tenure of Ozzie Albies, I don't think that he even comes close to some of the things that you felt for Freddie Freeman and, you know, him being a leader of his team. I think, you know, you'd miss Ozzie's smile, his attitude, things like that. But it's just been such a rough go of it the last couple of years for Ozzie Albies that I'm not sure that Atlanta fans would feel a certain way for that. I'll be curious to see, and Bo mentioned both catchers as part of the core. I'm not as strung out on that. I know that Alex Anthopoulos has talked about, and we've talked about it a bunch, he likes to have two catchers. I'm just not sure that if you can get the right pieces back for a Sean Murphy that he's not tradable. Because I think all options have to be on the table, aside from the core. And like I just brought up, I think you can kind of make arguments about who is not the core. I'm not sure Michael Harris is the core. He seems broken to me. He seems like a guy who would almost want to be traded at this point. You know, to get a different look. So we'll see what happens. But
looks like Harris changed his batting stance, so to speak. Grant actually broke it down. I think it was Grant that broke it down on Twitter that he has gone back to more of what he did when he first came up, the way he's in the box with his bat angle and all that kind of stuff. The reason Ozzie, the simplest and to me the best example of why Ozzie wouldn't be looked at when Freddie left is because Ozzie is playing himself out of the city, and Freddie did not. Freddie played himself into a better deal, one where that the entire league was trying to jump on top of, or most eligible bachelors as normal. Ozzie is more of a dump. Hey, here's a good deal. You could basically team option him next year for cheap, or you could just move on and hopefully he gets hot for you. I understand moving Harris, but I don't also understand it because it's a cheap deal for the top center fielder defensively in the league. And you're right now you're not. I mean, is it worth is it worth getting rid of for what you're going to get in return? And I just don't think, because I think his deal is so cheap. But that's, I mean, not that I'm campaigning for him to be here. I'm just saying, you know, is it worth it? Are you really going to get enough in return for how you're going to have to replace it?
Yeah. So, I think that's the frustrating thing for him. And I think that when you look at Michael Harrison, the value he brings defensively, there will always be a role for him. But to Bo's point, when you talk about one of the top five worst hitters in Major League Baseball this season, the value is not really where it could be for a player of his caliber. You almost just wish he would just heat up at some point and then you could deal with it when that time comes.
Well, and Bo, you brought up the tweet that Grant put out about Michael Harris's stance, and it was basically in 22 when he started versus starting this season versus where he's batting today. And there is a difference. Did you happen to see the very final tweet that he put out about that? With the Bronco he sold gave away last year versus today. I was a little bit proud of that one.
Oh, man.
Well, we are going to welcome the Giants and Truist tonight. Both teams are struggling a bit, so hopefully we can take this series expecting to see Bryce Elder on the mound tonight. Coming up, Falcons training camp starts this week. We are all over it. We'll cover what to expect and what questions we have next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist, an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan. Or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack. Mike is back in the building.
Heyo.
We've got Squid Billy Bo Morgan here, and Dylan is behind the glass. It is 6:23. I got to tell you guys, it's a very exciting week because
I'm happy to be back too. Oh no, what? Okay. Fill me
We're
in.
Happy to have you back. Of course we are. Because you know what week it is.
What's that?
Shark
Training
week.
Camp week.
No. Also Shark Week.
You know, I was gonna say that. You know, one of the things about reporting to training camp every year was that you knew that when you got back to your dorm or your, you know, whatever you want to call it, your apartment or whatever out there at Flower Branch, you knew that Shark Week was gonna
be
on TV. You know what I mean? Like that was always, and everybody kind of, you know, you get your there's like a clubhouse out there and you get with the smoothie rolling through. Everybody's getting their late night snack, and then you know that Shark Week's gonna be on all the TV.
I'm obsessed with sharks. I love Shark Week.
Bo, did you kick it off last night? Because it started yesterday.
I did not. I was solo last night, so I had a little bit of that stuff going on, and for some reason I decided to watch Cocktail again.
Oh, okay.
The Tom Cruise movie from the 80s about bartending. Yeah. So, yeah, I had a little solo dad duty. So,
was your wife out playing Mahjong?
No, my wife does not have a gambling problem.
Running the streets?
She was just having dinner for her cousin's birthday, but... So I had the green egg going, and then Pork Chop was, you know, doing what she does, watching Bluey.
You better be careful calling out Lindsay like that, man. Lindsay don't take no stuff, man.
She don't play.
She might come out and get you.
I didn't even follow up with it. I was like, we shouldn't go any further.
You think those Yellow Jacket stings were bad. Wait till Lindsay tries to sting you.
I think I'll be all right.
Good luck, man. Good luck. That's all I'll say.
Well, it is Falcons training camp week. This is the week we have been waiting for. So I'm going to need a training camp 101 from the both of you. You both have been multiple times. Mike, you've participated and observed training camp. So what are the both of you most looking forward to when everything kicks off on Thursday?
What am I not looking forward to?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think that's one of the best things about training camp is it's all new storylines. You go out there, and I think Bo is probably looking at different things than I am, but I'm looking for things like communication. I want to see who's talking to one another. I want to see which players are walking back and speaking to which coaches. I want to see, you know, who steps up as far as a leader in the defensive front. You know, things like that. I look for – the first thing I'll watch when I walk out there, and, of course, we'll get into everything else, you know, position battles and, you know, what different, you know, setups look like and formations and everything else. My first thing that I always look at is like, okay, who's the one breaking down each position group as they run to the next drill? Who's got their arm up in the air? Who is communicating with the young rookies? Who are the rookies looking to and walking over towards and doing different things? And one of the things that we noticed last year and throughout the offseason is that they use a Jumbotron and iPads and everything else out on the field to be able to look at these certain plays, and they can watch them in real time and watch replays in real time. And as those replays are happening, it's one of the things Bo and I kind of watched and witnessed last year at this time. As those replays are happening on their Jumbotrons out there, who are they standing next to? Who are they pointing to? Is it Michael Penix next to Drake London? Is he next to Darnell Mooney? Is it Kirk Cousins having some of those conversations? Are they walking towards Zach Robinson? Is TJ Yates part of that entire ordeal and how that kind of process breaks down? So it's always intriguing to me to kind of get an inner look at who kind of steps into those situations and who kind of huddles together during certain points during training camp and kind of see how this thing's starting to pan out.
I try not to overreact the first week of training camp. There'll be oohs and ahs. There'll be a couple of good catches and guys will beat some guys in one-on-one. And it's just kind of letting everything settle. You know, you'll go the first 3 or 4 days and it won't even be pads on, right? So I think they'll probably, if memory serves, it'll be maybe Tuesday. I don't know what the actual schedule is of when they're practicing, but Monday or Tuesday before they put pads on. So that first day is just kind of being back and kind of trying to learn. I'm trying to learn the roster. And I say that because, you know, look, the expectations that are on this team is you shouldn't be looking at the roster and who's going to fill this void. And you don't expect there to be a lot of battles this camp. What you're looking for me is kind of learn, all right, where, you know, deeper on the roster, you know, guys that are going to, who's going to guy that's going to step up next to Kadarius Hodge and be a special teams stud, right? There is a kicking battle going on, so that's interesting. So when they get in these situational drills, And they do bring the, you know, the 2 minute, they'll bring kickers in and let them kick. And so how's that? So, you know, some of that stuff, you're just trying to learn of who the depth pieces are. Who are those guys that are going to be fighting for? Really, it's who's 47 through 53.
Yeah.
And they're fighting for jobs and learning those guys and kind of figuring out where they've come from, where they've been. Some of those guys have been in this isn't the first time they've been in this position on a roster. Some of those guys, they're undrafted. Some of those guys are late round picks from this year, and they're looking for those spots. So
curious to get your stance, Bodie. Is the eye test a thing for you? I always heard this as a player, and I don't know whether or not I agree with it or not, but it always be this thing from like radio or media or whatever. They'd be like, "Oh, that guy looks good. That guy, you know." And I used to look at teammates of mine and be like, "Yeah, I mean, he kind of always looks like that." Or maybe it's just been a slow transformation since last season that I haven't noticed that some guy, you know, is a little more ripped or a little bit, you know, thicker upper body or whatever it may be. Is like, man, that guy looks good. And I'd be like, what are we talking about here? I don't understand.
I don't know. Julio used to come in heavy, but it wasn't a fat heavy. It was a muscular heavy. And because you're, you know, when you kind of work out a little bit and you went to kind of gain size, but then when you end up doing just a crap ton of cardio, you shred a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what Julio would go through. He'd come in like, I think Julio played at like 225, but he'd come in at like 240. And then by the season, he'd be like 230, 225. I think there are some guys that put on size in the offseason, and I think we see them that first day or two, and they're not in pads or anything. And then you'll see them after, and they'll be doing media, and they'll just be in like a T-shirt or whatever. You're like, oh, he looks bigger. Oh, he looks good. And the end of the day, it's like, no, he's just carrying a little extra water weight because he did less cardio and lifted more to protect his body. Because guys will gain weight back during the season because of that.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, is when you get to training camp, you have to be careful not to overreact one way or another. Because like just to say, for instance, Kyle Pitts scores a long touchdown. You immediately have to look at it and go, oh, there's Kyle Pitts. You know what? Breaking out. And then you have to look at the secondary and go, all right, who was covering him? You know, what defense was this in? Was this a blitz? Is this a rookie outside linebacker covering him? Or is this somebody that you expect to be a contributor on the actual football team? So I think we as in the fan realm of things, tend to get excited about players breaking out and making great catches and like long runs. And Bijan broke out and circus stuff. And then you have to remember that you're playing against the Atlanta Falcons defense. Mm-hmm. Like that's not good. Oh, no. Oh, Kyle Pitts had 600 yards receiving today. You're like, oh, no, that's not good. We don't want that. No, please no.
It is interesting when you kind of back away and look at it that way. What rookies are you guys kind of like, okay, I need to see this person?
That's a good question. I think for me, it's both guys in secondary. And I think the easy answer is probably Jalen Walker, James Pierce. And, of course, you want to see what those guys are doing. I'll be more curious to see where they plug in early. I mean, Bo, you remember last year we got out there, James Smith-Williams was on the first-string defensive line. We're like, who is this guy? You know, we're like looking around like, what?
Yeah,
who is he?
That's what I can't stand is there's people that will watch. And there's reporters that write about the team, AJC, that will overreact to certain things that have done and that happen. I mean, it's like, dude, it's 7-on-7.
Yeah.
Essentially, I think it's more about where they line up and what kind of roles they're getting them familiar with and what they are doing.
And I think that's why I'm excited about the secondary to see where, I mean, Xavier Watts seemingly, and I don't think this to be true because I've been in enough of these rooms, it feels like he's been handed the keys to the safety position back there.
Last year was a perfect example. Ray McLeod was running with the first team, and forgive me, I cannot remember the receiver's
name.
Rondale Moore was like a third string guy. Yet the fan base and the reporters were like, you know, when Rondale Moore unfortunately got injured, oh man, that's such a big blow. And I just go back to, well, what in the hell have y'all watched and listened to? Because I didn't see Rondale Moore run one snap with the first team. Ray had that. Rondale Moore, like, so in the end of the day, it wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, yeah, it was a depth piece, but, and maybe had another weapon, but a guy that had been a disappointment to the NFL at that point, which was Rondale Moore, and you expected him to plug in here and I guess have a 1,000-yard season. Well, guess what? Ray McLeod actually did that. Ray McLeod, not 1,000 yards, but he had over six. He had more than your tight end. He was a fourth overall pick. He was more of a factor than people ever expected. And it was all because of the hype coming out of when he was drafted, and that certain people made a big deal about it when he got hurt. But if you had watched and paid attention and listened to the right people, you'd have known. So who's running where and what their roles are is more than anything to me at camp than actually what they're doing, because that tells you what they think of them and what their plans are for them.
Yeah. And again, Billy Bowman will be lined up somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like I said, Xavier Watts, it feels like, kind of gets lost in the shuffle that DeMarco Helms is coming back off injury, and that, you have Fuller as well. I don't know what to expect from some of those guys. And like I said, I think the easy thing is like, oh, I can't wait to see Jalen Walker, where he's lined up, off the ball, on the edge, what he's being asked to do early in camp. But you got a couple guys back in the secondary who really feels like that they are needed now. And Jalen Walker, as you need a pass rush now, and James Pierce, as you need a pass rush now, it almost feels like because you could consider them in the same role throughout training camp that you're not as up in arms with what that might entail.
One thing about training camp that I'm always looking forward to every year once we get into training camp, good old roster math, baby. Good old roster math.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good point. And, look, you got to figure out who's going to be – I'll be curious to see the progression – of which rookies throughout training camp start to join the special teams units. As they start to work their way up, you're like, that's a massive indicator what Dylan's talking about roster math. When guys start to be added to the special teams unit, when you see them working with the ones on punt, kickoff, things like that, you're like, all right, man, that guy's turning some heads.
Well, I am excited to get into all of it. Falcons training camp kicks off Thursday. We will be out there live from Flowery Branch. And coming up, a pawn shop has admitted they were selling an NFL player's stolen property. We'll get into that in the front page. And we've got my Allie Mack drop. Was the happiest night of someone's life really that happy? That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
The Morning Shift.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. You've got Mike here back in the saddle today. Bo. I'm Allie Mack, and Dylan is behind the glass, and let's give a little golf clap. Scottie Scheffler won the Open Championship, finished 17 under, winning his second major of this year.
Yeah, it's a term that I like to use in racing. Stunk up the show. Scottie Scheffler stunk up the show, it seemed like, over the weekend. It's like, that's not really any drama the way we've kind of grown accustomed to some of these golfing events, man. He's in the prime of his career, and he's dominating like no other.
The biggest sports story over the weekend, Scottie Scheffler wins his fourth major. He's now got three of the four of the Grand Slam. He did a pretty good job Saturday kind of separating himself. It was, I believe, a four-shot lead going into Sunday. At one point, he was up to like an eight-stroke lead. And then he did run into a little bit of trouble, had a double, then got one back, but he's dominant. There, you know, the stat that I read, and I know I'm going to ask Mick the Caddy this when we have him on later, I think at 8:20, is there's a 3-year span number out there. From 2002 to 2005, Tiger played in 79 events, had 18 wins and 4 majors, no players championships. And this, in a 2022 to 25, which is also a 3-year span for Scheffler, he's played in 81 events, had 20 wins, 4 majors, two of which the Players' Championship. So what he's doing is completely dominant, and it's at a very high level. But he's still way off of Tiger's pace as far as wins and such and all of that. But it's been a dominant 3 years for Scottie Scheffler.
Well, and kind of funny, right off the heels of him saying, winning doesn't matter to me, even though he dominates over the weekend.
Well, he spoke on that, too, and he was like, look, it was taken a little bit out of context.
Yeah.
He's like, I basically was trying to say that this is everything I've ever worked for, but if I'm not as dominant as I am and I don't win it as much as I do, it doesn't determine my happiness.
Right.
But I actually felt like he trolled the rest of the field. I think he trolled everybody. He's like, yeah, I mean, when is that important? Oh, I'm going to dog walk y'all.
No,
right now.
Exactly. That's what's so great about that.
Yeah. $3.1 million. How about that? That'll work. Yeah, that'll make you not really care.
I don't care about $3.1 million.
Yeah, no big deal.
The MLB is looking into Jazz Chisholm's interaction with Braves' Eddie Perez. So things got a little heated after Jazz was signaling pitches from second base. Eddie was probably just telling him to knock it off, but he pointed at his head. And that was interpreted as a threat by Jazz. Eddie maintains he was saying, be smart, while he was pointing at his head.
Yeah, Jazz wanted it to be a threat because he wanted to be a little punk about it, which he was. Stealing signs is a part of baseball when you're on base, and knowing that, I don't have a problem with that. But Eddie was like, just be smart doing it because it can cause a lot of trouble. Now, I don't really give a damn if Eddie was like, we're going to come at you. I don't care. Protect your team. Do whatever. That's baseball. It wouldn't be the first time that someone stole a sign on that second base and then they came inside on him. Okay, that's the way the game was played for a long time. So I thought Aaron Boone handled it the worst, though. To me, he was the most unprofessional way he handled it, because whatever happened, he should have walked over either at the end of the game or the next day, when all these guys are around each other, and been like, hey, what's going on here? And talk to Eddie Perez. But instead, he cowered. And, you know, that's whatever. I think it was unprofessionally handled by the other manager.
I don't see it that way at all. As a matter of fact, I was kind of disappointed the way Eddie Perez handled it. I mean, you caught the guy stealing signs. At what point would it have been okay if we had sat here and had somebody in the dugout from the Yankees telling a Braves player to be smart? No, dude, you go visit the mound, tell your pitcher to stop tipping pitches or stop, you know, tipping signals. I was kind of shocked because obviously Eddie Perez has been around here a long time. He is beloved by every Braves fan. I just thought it was a little bit, I'm like, dude, I don't need you to talk to Jazz Chisholm. We all know who Jazz Chisholm is. He's shown us time and time again that, like, you know, like Bo said, he kind of wants to be a little punk every now and then. You don't have to talk to him. And I know Eddie came out afterward and said, one of my favorite players, you know, I was just telling him to be smart. No, you need to go tell your pitcher to be smarter because that's kind of where the fault lies right there. You know, I can't sit here and say that, you know, I wish Aaron Boone had handled it quietly and then, you know, don't get upset when Eddie Perez calls out Jazz Chisholm on the bases from
about,
the dugout.
How about handling it quietly, but go have a conversation. Don't just hide behind Major League Baseball. Like, I have no issue with what he said in the first after the postgame Saturday night. But what I do have is that they revisited it after the postgame Sunday. He's like, no, I'm just going to let baseball handle it. No, go over there and defend your player. Why does your player have to defend himself? Yeah, I think it was an unprofessional move by Boone. Now, you can say it was unprofessional by Eddie, too. That's fine. I'm not going to argue with that. That's anybody's opinion. But go over there and talk. Like, don't just say, well, I'm just going to let baseball handle it. It's kind of a cop-out to me. I mean, just say you're scared of Eddie Perez.
I was like, come on, Eddie. You know what I mean? Like, and that's, I don't know. I agree. I'm not a huge fan of Jazz Chisholm, but I think we can all agree that you know what you're getting with him. You know what I mean? He kind of wears it on his sleeve. So I'm like, dude, why even talk to this guy from the dugout? You know exactly what the reaction is
going
to be.
It was like the length of the interaction that did it for me. I was like, okay, this is going on too long.
All right, man. All right, wrap it up. All right.
Yeah. The NFL Players Association chief officer J.C. Tretter will resign amid the union overhaul.
A dumpster fire.
I know.
Everything about this is a dumpster fire, man. I can't help but chuckle because obviously when you look at the union and everything that's gone on the last couple of weeks, and I know that he was one of the people kind of being put in a role to move forward and possibly be in that Lloyd Howell role, and it's like, wait a second. All of a sudden it started getting pushed back. He does the one-hour interview with Jonathan Jones from CBS Sports yesterday and tries to explain himself. I don't think he came off in a good light at all. And I went into it trying to think that J.C. Tretter yesterday, I watched the interview and I'm like, surely I'm going to understand his position on some of those things. And it just seemed like more times than not, he was going, yep, didn't have a clue that was happening. Yep, didn't have a clue that was happening. And then he steps back from it all, and it's probably the right move. And he says that, look, man, this organization's not the one that I love, not the one that I thought it could be, and, you know, it's time for me to kind of go away. I think everybody agrees with you, JC. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and step back.
Well, I don't know what was worse, the everything that happened leading up to this, or the fact that he was going to be voted in as the next rep for the union, or the fact that, or the interview he did with Jonathan Jones on CBS, because all three of them were just complete train wrecks. J.C. Tretter was one of the biggest issues with the union. Everything you've watched, he knew about Howell's role with the firm. He knew about Howell. He was covering things up. He knew about the collusion agreement that they decided to pause, and he allowed all that to happen. And then he was going to get voted in, and then he makes himself a martyr in an interview afterwards. The NFLPA union is a debacle right now. They need new leadership from top to bottom in it. Not talking about player reps. I'm talking about the guys running the main office. Like, it is absolutely brutal. But I'm glad that J.C. Tretter can make himself a martyr after this with his little interview that he did, because it was pathetic.
Yeah, this story just seems to keep unfolding. And a New York pawn shop owner has admitted to buying and selling luxury items stolen from Joe Burrow. His name is Dmitry Nahinsky. He pled guilty Friday to one count of conspiracy to receive stolen property, including expensive watches, jewelry, and handbags.
Yeah, put him under the jail. I mean, put him under. Like, I cannot stand. This entire story makes me sick to my stomach. That say what you want to about any of the other things surrounding this, but up to 5 years in prison is what I hope he gets all five of them, man. Because you have just made a life off of making other people miserable with their you know, property being robbed and everything else. So, look, do whatever's necessary, but you put them under the jail. I'm over stories like this.
Yeah, it's obnoxious to think there are people out there that wake up, they're like, who can I rip off today?
Oh, yeah,
that's awful.
Yeah, awesome.
All right, well, it's time to fill Mike in on someone we talked to last week. So last week, Mike, when you're out, you know we are at SEC Media Days.
Hell yeah, yeah. So, sad to have missed it.
And we missed you very much while we were there. We were actually, our neighbor to the right was a former teammate of yours, Greg McElroy.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's cool.
Got a good relationship with him?
Yeah, I like Greg, man. Greg's a good dude. Good dude. And was a good leader and was a better quarterback than most people give him credit for. So, yeah, we're good.
So, Bo invited him on the show. And, of course, he couldn't let Greg get away without giving us some Mike Johnson stories.
Oh,
and we're going to get to all of them eventually. But the story I think that stood out the most to all of us was about your draft night. So, Mike, you've talked about your draft night. Selected in the third round by the Falcons.
Yeah.
And it seemed like you were a little downtrodden, like, it's never going to happen. But when we heard it from Greg.
What story did Greg tell about my draft?
It sounded like there might be some incentive not to be drafted in the third round.
It was a substantial amount of money that Mike Johnson would be drafted in the first three rounds. And Mike Johnson took the bet, said there's no chance. Mike Johnson, I think, got drafted like middle of the third round and had to pay up to my boy in college like $1,000. And he was a senior in college.
Oh, that's
you think
phenomenal.
He tried so, not oh my God. Do you want to talk about like the biggest night ever? Like we had $1,000 to play with and it was Mike's money. Let's go, boys.
I mean,
I had completely forgotten about this story. His name was David Ross. Still a good buddy of mine. Lives over in Birmingham. I don't know if Greg ever said who it was, but yeah, another offensive lineman, dude that was 1 year younger than me, my buddy David. I completely forgot about that story. And that is a true story. Of course, I didn't get the money right then. I had to wait a little bit. So I don't know what he's talking about having a good night. Maybe they were just taking IOUs like, you know, Dumb and Dumber.
Man.
This one's a big one. Don't want to lose that.
And I saw the complete shock on your face when he started going into it. If you want to see the video of Greg telling us this story, it is up on Twitter. You can witness that. But since he told that story, then I was like, huh, I'm curious. There's got to be a report or some video or something of Mike's draft night.
Oh, God.
And his reaction to it.
Oh, Jesus.
And I did a little digging.
Oh,
and
no.
I did find.
Did you find it? Yes, oh, no.
From that station in Pensacola.
Yeah,
investigative
man.
Reporter, Alan Mack.
W-E-A-R-3.
Don't double cross me. I know how to use Google.
Oh, God.
We have this statement from you after you had learned that you were drafted by the Falcons.
I was just ready to pack it up, call it a day, and wait till Saturday and hope for the fourth round. But Atlanta called me, and I got a 770 area code on my phone and just started jumping for joy. I was so happy.
Golly, do I have a cold?
So my question about that was, you were just drafted by the Falcons. You go,
yeah.
I was so happy.
Yeah, I was
in
exhausted.
My mind, I'm thinking, is it because you had to pay Greg?
No, no, God, no. No, I mean, unfortunately, and one of the reasons I would make that bet is because the grand didn't seem that bad at that point. You know what
just
I mean?
Just started jumping for joy.
It seems to be a raspier voice now than when back
and
in the
I
day.
Believe, yeah, I think from all my years of coaching, I think it's gotten a little bit of raspier yelling, but... No, man, that's funny. That was an interesting night because what happened is I got drafted, and, of course, it was really late. I don't know what time the second, third round kickoff now, but it felt like that draft happened at, like, 10 p.m., which we were on Central Time there. But, you know, it was one of those things where I was like, I don't know when I'm getting drafted. I don't want to talk to anybody. And then, of course, as soon as I do, WAR3, who is Channel 3, which you got that sound from, they're calling my phone going, hey, can we stop by the house?
Right.
And, of course, like this interview, I'm like sitting on my parents' ottoman in my living room.
Just
like,
started jumping for joy.
Man, I had completely forgot about that $1,000 bet with David Ross until Greg just brought that up, which it's funny hearing it from his perspective. I had never heard that. I had never heard it from the other end. I just, you know, text from David like, hey, pay up. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. So that's funny, man. That's funny seeing it back from that end. But yeah, I don't think the downtroddenness in my voice on draft night had anything to do with the $1,000. I don't see how I could be anything but happy, especially knowing I was going to Atlanta, which, you know, grew up in Florida and went to school in Alabama, and you get to go live in Georgia for a little bit. So, and I'm still here.
Yeah.
So I enjoy it.
You are. Bo, did you have any takeaways from our time with Greg?
Oh, God.
Because it was fun to hear all the stories.
Well, at one point in time, Cole Kublik almost came at me when I was just trying to help him, and now we're friends now. And I was talking, when I was talking to them after that, Greg was like, well, where is Mike? And I said, he was on vacation.
Oh, man.
And Mike's like,
that.
I mean, Greg was like, he took vacation at SEC Media Days. I go, no, yeah, I know. Up to this point, probably the second biggest week of the year, and he decides to take off. And I was like, you know,
especially
but I said, I'll call him out. And Greg was like, I'm going to call him out. He's like, I'm not afraid of his ass anymore. He's like, he's not 6'5", 3'10", anymore. He's like, he ain't
man.
So scary. And it was the fact that Greg McElroy at one point in time was scared of Mike, and he's grown up, I say grown up, And now he seems to have conquered his fears.
He still doesn't want the smoke. Let me just put it that way, man. But I love Greg. Good dude. Good dude. And honestly, he's had an incredible career over at ESPN. So proud of what he's been able to do. But yeah, that's funny.
He did talk about Mike as a leader. I disagree with some of it. But I thought that maybe was how Mike was, because he was very – I could tell that Mike was someone that he really respected.
Yeah.
And looked up to during his time. So that was interesting.
We do need to get that audio, because he did say Mike's a dang good football player. Had it not been for injuries, you're still in the NFL today. Like, it was a really, really good
so
moment.
So sweet of him, Greg. So sweet of you, Greg.
Just started jumping for joy.
Well, coming up, it is Falcons training camp week. We are going to be out there. We're going to talk about what you can expect, what we can expect, and what questions do we have when they hit the field in Flowery Branch. Again, if you want to see that video of Greg McElroy talking about Mike Johnson over here, It is on Twitter at 929 Morning Shift. But that is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
The Morning Shift.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off. The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.